Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kurt Crosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, starts now. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the broadcast for... Wow, it's already April the 29th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution for the United States of America as our guide, and we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, one of the great peaceful restorative solutions we have at our fingertips. As you know, we reject revolution. We stand for peaceful restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth. A quick recap of Saturday's broadcast. Wow, we had news the networks refused to use, Liberty Roundtable Live Week in Review. And I was not live the Saturday before last Saturday. So it was 2 weeks in review. It was crazy. I mean, the amount of news we cover is amazing, ladies and gentlemen. Check it out, libertyroundtable.com. Hour two, though. We had our guest on, Mr. Richard Mack, CSPOA.org, thefreedomcoalition.com, and we had Richard on Saturdays, normally on Fridays, but we had an incredible two-hour bonanza guest on education relating to Friday, and so we had Richard on Saturday, and it worked out really well, and we talked about the Kansas Supreme Court blocked a law that would have banned the most commonly used procedure to stop abortions. So the bottom line is there's a procedure to promote abortions, right? So they would have banned the law that, you know, allowed the abortions. They say the state constitution provides for the protection of women, that they can decide what they want to do with their own bodies. So now you got the United States Constitution against the state of Kansas Constitution. Wow. And in my opinion, the whole premise of government is pro-life. So how would a state constitution advocate for pro-death? But there you go. The battle's on for the heart and minds of Americans when it comes to pro-death versus pro-choice. And they want you to believe pro-choice is life, but it isn't. It's death. And, well, there you go. Illegal aliens, believe it or not, comprise 13% of federal prison population. Did you know that? Illegals comprise 13% of the federal prison population. Crime is down, ladies and gentlemen. That's the good news. The bad news, U.S. incarceration rates barely down, folks. Why? Well, the United States, believe it or not, still has the largest known incarcerated population in the world. Yeah, slightly under 1.5 million people are in prison at the end of 2017. The size of the United States prison population... has resulted from not only locking more people up, but locking them up for a longer period of time. A record number of people, believe it or not, are serving life sentences, according to the U.S. Sentencing Project. While the United States, believe it or not, accounts for only 4% of the world's population, has more than a third of the estimated world population serving life sentences. Yeah, we talked about Prescott, Arizona sues opioid companies. Now, they say the case will not join the class action lawsuit. So the bottom line is you got drug manufacturers being sued. Now, a lot of the reason people are in jail is because of drugs, fueled by prescription drugs, backed by big pharma and physicians. That's what the lawsuit's all about. Can Trump beat Ocasio-Cortez? Great question. Some are saying it's not relevant, Sam, because she's too young to run for president. But this is a understanding point of view, right? Is Donald too off the rails? Is Ocasio-Cortez better fitted to the American belief as socialists? In other words, does America believe in socialism or Donald? In my opinion, two pretty bad choices. If you ask my opinion, I'd rather have a good, honest constitutionalist. But that's not even on the table for discussion, I guess. FBI warns of Russian meddling in the 2020 election race. Well, Sam Bushman... warns of the United States swamp. You know, like the FBI, the IRS, etc., etc. I'm wondering about them meddling in the 2020 race, personally. I'm more concerned about the FBI and the IRS and the dishonesty from the swamp meddling in elections than I am the foreign nation of Russia by far, by the way. All right, that's a recap of the broadcast that took place on Saturday. News the networks refuse to use starts now. Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org with me. Welcome to the broadcast, sir.
Thank you, Sam. Sure, good to be with you.
You're very welcome, sir. Donald Trump's crusaders march to war. So Donald on the campaign trail really spoke out against these wars, but something happened to him when he got in office, didn't it, Lowell?
Well, for sure, Sam. He has surrounded himself with other swamp creatures. John Bolton is one of them. Pompeo is one of them. Together, that dynamic, dastardly duo are spreading fear and war throughout the world. Just the latest on Iran, Sam. This is from journalist Eric Margolis, an excellent journalist. He posted this story at RonPaulInstitute.org just 2 days ago on Saturday. Now, he's reporting the impact or the effect of an earlier decision by the Trumpster to impose embargo on oil being exported from Iran. Now, this is oil that other governments are purchasing from Iran. But he put an embargo on 1.2 billion barrels of Iranian oil. That's billion with a B, as in boy. 1.2 billion barrels of Iranian oil. He ordered that, imperial decree, that includes China, South Korea, Turkey, India, and Japan, saying, you guys, don't you think you can buy oil from Iran anymore, and we're going to stop this export of Iranian oil to you guys. This is almost all-out act of war. You know, this is reminiscent of America's work to cut off oil to Japan prior to the Pearl Harbor attack back in 1941. That was just one of about 10 reasons Japan launched the attack on the United States, because we cut off their oil supply. Well, what do you think China, South Korea, Turkey, India, Japan, and others are going to do? Even Syria is affected by this embargo. And, of course, you got Saudi Arabia saying, well, we'll make up any shortfalls in the oil export, but who knows but what Iran might have some gunboats and so forth out there and special forces to take on some of the Saudi oil installations. And so there's no guarantee that even Saudi Arabia would be able to keep up the export of the necessary oil to all of these countries. So you remember the discussion we had on February 25th about the petrodollar? I really believe, Sam, that this is why the U.S. has imposed this embargo on Iranian oil. Iran is an ancient, is a proud nation of 80 million people, and it, along with Turkey, and backed by Russia probably, has become one of the most effective opposition forces to America's imperialism in the Middle East. I don't know, Sam. It's not looking good. So, the White House is helping Israel here. Israel and Iran, they always fight against each other. And so just recently, the White House canceled a $20 billion order from Iran for Boeing aircraft, right? So Boeing had a contract to sell aircraft to Iran to the tune of $20 billion, and the White House put their foot on it. Said, don't do that. They've embargoed trade with Iran. They reneged on the nuclear deal. They've cut off aid to Palestine. And we continue to sell weapons to the Saudis in their war against Yemen, which is causing, as we've mentioned before in this show, mass starvation, cholera outbreaks, people dying right and left. That is the fruit of the U.S. administration's foreign interventionist policy. Trump even recently approved Israel's illegal seizure of the Golan Heights from Syria. Here we are still threatening war against Venezuela and Cuba. And now we get down to the dirty details of this embargo enforcement, Sam. How are we going to stop Iran from selling oil to all of these other countries? Well, we have two aircraft carriers in the area within striking range of Iran. And so we got this threatening. We're threatening all out war with Iran, is the bottom line. And what's Iran doing about this? Well, they're just digging in their heels. Iran is threatening to close down the Strait of Hormuz, that strategic strait south of Iran there, north of Saudi Arabia, and 20% of the world's oil passes through this strait, Sam, 20%. And so that could be disrupted right during this next month or two, whatever. And so expect the price of oil and gasoline to go up, and expect war in the Middle East, because Trump's foreign policy is an interventionist foreign policy that's making a lot of people angry at the U.S.
And not only is it an interventionist policy, but it seemed to have ratcheted up under the Donald. Bigger funding, behind the scenes, more aggression, more war hawks surrounding the president. It seems like it's kind of gone, I don't know, somebody hit the accelerator. Kurt, do you want to respond to this?
Well, thanks for asking, Sam. I mean, I like you and Lowell, I'm concerned when the president does things that I wish he wouldn't. But then I'm grateful for the things that he does that I'm glad he does. So that's where we are here in America.
Yeah, but we need to talk about what's going on and what's happening that we don't want to see happening, not just offset it with, hey, we're glad for what he does. We need to be glad for what he does, talk about the details and why and how and what and where and who and all that. We need to do the same thing in this vein. Why? Because I think we have a chance to maybe encourage President Trump to go a different direction. Let's have Lowell respond to that when we come back. Because if you just say, oh, you know what, I'm sad about what he does bad, but happy about what he does good, hey, there's no discussion. We need details about what we can advocate for and against in an effort to influence for good.
I reinstated a policy first put in place by President Ronald Reagan, the Mexico City policy. I strongly supported the House of Representatives' pain-capable bill, which would end painful late-term abortions nationwide. And I call upon the Senate to pass this important law and send it to my desk for signing. We are protecting the sanctity of life and the family as the foundation of our society. And most importantly of all, it is the gift of life itself. That is why we march. That is why we pray. And that is why we declare that America's future will be filled with goodness, peace, joy, dignity, and life for every child of God.
As a parent, is receiving a faith-based, character-focused education for your children difficult to find? Do you believe that godly principles should be a central component in your child's education? Imagine a school where faith and integrity are at its center, where heritage and responsibility instill character. For over 40 years, American Heritage School has been educating both hearts and minds, bringing out academic excellence. This is the school where character and embracing the providence of a living God are fundamental, where students' national test scores average near the 90th percentile. With American Heritage School's Advanced Distance Education Program, distance is no longer an issue. With an accredited LDS-oriented curriculum from kindergarten through 12th grade, your children can attend from anywhere in the world. American Heritage School will prepare your child for more than a job. It will prepare them for life. To learn more, visit American-Heritage.org. That's American-Heritage.org.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
So, Lowell, I agree with Kurt completely that, you know what, we got to celebrate the good that the Donald does and, you know, be concerned about the bad. I agree. But my concern is that we always offset anything the president does that's bad with, oh, man, but I love the good that he does. We sometimes fail to drill into what the concern is, exactly why we feel the way we do, and most importantly, the, in my opinion, narrow window of opportunity in which we might be able to change the game if we get involved and do our part.
I think you're right, Sam. I think if enough of us were to raise the chorus of opposition to the current foreign interventionist policy, it would create a noise and a fury so great, so undeniable, that it would give the president the necessary support for him to take a stand against interventionist foreign policy. I truly believe that. I think that if he had enough senators demanding that U.S. representatives demanding that he stand down and that he not engage the United States in these foreign wars, that he would do what's popular. You know, he tends to be kind of a populist. He likes to please people. He likes to do what's popular and then brag about it. So I think it's up to us, folks. I think we need to call our members of Congress, senators and U.S. representatives, and voice our opposition firmly and unmistakably that we oppose this interventionist foreign policy. And we can state the reasons. It's resulting in the deaths of millions of people. I think the last count was 40,000 just in Venezuela have died. We know about the 500,000 Iraqi children, you know, as a result of our interventionist foreign policy in Iraq. And that, too, was because of our intent to prop up the petrodollar in Iraq. I believe the petrodollar is at the base of our problems in Venezuela and in Iran, and just as it was in Libya and Iraq. We have to make this noise. We can't fall prey to this lie, this myth, that the that we're not responsible for what the United States government does. That's a real common myth. It's a misunderstanding. You and I are responsible for what our government does, and we need to raise a chorus of opposition to this, Sam, and I beg and plead with all of our listeners to please raise this chorus. Let your congressman know unmistakably that you oppose this kind of war on Iran. I would much rather let the petrodollar fall, let it die, let the dollar be, let it crumble, rather than kill people over it. It's not worth the loss of our soul, Sam. That's my feeling.
Yeah, and the reason that I bring this up is I get that the president does a lot of good, and I support the good that he does completely. You know, the radio commercials that I produce, I would say certainly advocates that I think enough of what he's doing in many, many, many ways to take my time to create radio commercials to promote those things, without a doubt. However, when we're this hawkish on war, we're literally, and the mainstream press isn't reporting on it, so people don't understand, but we're literally provoking Iran right now. Not just kind of. We're literally saying we are the world's control mechanism. We're the world's boss. And you know what? None of you better buy any oil from Iran, because if you do, you know what? You're in the doghouse with us. It's literally, in my opinion, aggression that becomes an act of war at some point. Because you say, well, who can you buy oil from? The Saudis? As if they're any better? And what we do is we pick sides and we meddle and we try to force other nations along with our agenda. Why? Because the dollar's tied to oil, folks. That's why. They betrayed us and took the fake dollar, off of gold and silver, constitutional money. Now they tie it to oil so that it doesn't absolutely melt down. And then they literally control other nations with this, quote, big stick. And Donald spoke out against this. But then now that he's president, somehow all those things, I mean, he says he's not for war. He says he's backing out of wars publicly, but he wages way more wars than he backs out of. When I say he, I mean his administration. Whether he's really doing it or not, I'm not close enough to know. But I know this, we're spending more money on war, more money on funding and training and arming enemies, more money on backing the, quote, petrodollar, threatening other nations, becoming so hegemonist that eventually other nations will absolutely revolt against this agenda. And I'm just telling you, we are on a course of no good. No good, Lowell.
Just one other example, Sam, of the impact of our sanctions, of this embargo, are being felt right now in Syria. You know, there's been 7 years of war in Syria since about 2012. And finally, basically, we backed off, and Assad, you know, we said, okay, Assad, you can keep your country. And it turns out that the U.S. oil sanctions, U.S.-led oil sanctions targeting Syria, are now taking effect. Apparently, the last oil to go into Syria was last October. And so now, in Syria, because they haven't, and that was, what was it, 3 billion barrels a month? I'm reading another article here, Ron Paul, Institute.org. Boy, this is a fantastic site. If you want to come up to speed on the machinations of war throughout the world, this is the place to do it. So 3 million barrels a month of Iranian oil is flowing into Syria during the civil war over the past 7 years there in Syria. But that came to a stop in October when the sanctions were resumed. Basically, the United States backed out of there. And because of those sanctions now, you have to wait in line up to 19 hours. You wait in line for gasoline in a lifeless city is what the headlines are reading over there. The ongoing weeks-long crisis has now been made especially worse after the Trump administration this week, meaning last week, ended embargo exemptions for 8 countries allowed to purchase Iranian crude oil. So there you go, Sam, Kurt. We've got people in Syria now who are waiting in gas lines for 15, 20 hours just to get 20 liters of gasoline, and the prices are going through the roof over there. And basically it's ground that the economy over there in Damascus has basically ground to a halt. You know, people thought that once the war was over, the civil war over, that they would return to normal life there, but because the U.S. and its puppet allies have backed out of there, now the oil embargo is taking effect, and the people of Syria are not, and they don't have access to the energy supplies over there, and it's strangling them, Sam. This is U.S. foreign interventionist policy at work. And it's just sickening, Sam. I don't like
it. Amen to that. I completely agree. And so there you go. Again, we would advocate, we would beg, we would encourage, we would plead, we would use all of our influence to say, listen, let's go back to a George Washington foreign policy, which says, you know what, we're not going to meddle in the affairs of other nations. You would say, well, Sam, Iran is, you know, they're getting big money from these foreign nations, and they're promoting terrorism, for crying out loud. And my response would be, so is Saudi Arabia, so is the communist nations of China and Russia and North Korea and many others. And you know what? Most nations get weapons from one of two places. Well, three places: China, Russia, the United States. All right. So our most favored nation trading partner plus us are the two biggest arms dealers in the world, folks. Okay. We arm and train and fund, and we pick sides, and we act like our side is the righteous side. Okay. That's the lie. We act like nations don't have the choice to do it. Okay, our most favored nation trading partner, which side are they picking? So how many arms would be throughout the world, and how much military training, and how much funding would there be if China and Russia and the United States all quit funding and training and arming for war at every turn on all sides? Okay, so the idea that we have some threats is true. But the problem is those threats are being used against us to continue to advocate for, fund and train for more war under the idea that, oh, that will stop it. See, that's where the lie becomes. And Donald understood some of this before he became president. Now he's surrounded by too many people that are, you know, agitating for war at every turn. It's sad to say.
One more note on this, Sam. And the reason I'm urging us to call members of Congress about this is because of the way Senator Mike Lee responded to the town hall meeting last week. Well, not last week, week before last, so about 10 days ago, when he explained his vote to end the U.S. support of the weapons deals with Saudi Arabia to wage war on Yemen, he answered that question correctly, and I'll explain how he then answered a question I asked about Venezuela.
We'll talk about it in just a second, ladies and gentlemen. Again, war everywhere. Sad to say. Liberty Roundtable Live. Sam and Kurt and Lowell Nelson. CampaignForLiberty.org on your radio.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
All three surviving victims of Saturday's synagogue shootings now out of hospitals in California, the youngest being 8-year-old Noya Dehan.
It was just, I never thought that would happen.
One woman was killed, Noya and two other people injured, when 19-year-old John Ernest allegedly opened fire on about 100 people who were worshiping on the final day of Passover. Police believe Ernest acted alone. They're investigating to see if he's also responsible for a mosque arson last month. President Trump says weak immigration laws and a great economy have led to an increase of immigrants headed to the U.S. In a Sunday interview with Fox News, he said the situation is like Disneyland. He blames Democrats for not voting with Republicans on tougher immigration laws. And this is USA Radio News.
Lumber Liquidators Flooring Company has you covered with the hottest styles for any room. Get 15 to 25% off our best-selling floors, like Rose Canyon Pine Waterproof Vinyl and Wide Plank Willow Manor Oak Hardwood. Get started today with special financing, and we can arrange the installation for you. See the flooring experts at your local Lumber Liquidators today. Lumber Liquidators, beautiful floors for less.
Oh my gut! We need to talk about something. Constipation, abdominal pain, and bloating. You tell yourself, it's not that bad. You take laxatives and modify your diet and exercise routine, but thinking about it all the time is frustrating. This doesn't have to define you. If your constipation comes back again and again and you don't know why, then it may be time to seek help. Go to ohmygut.info where you can learn more about your symptoms and get to know your gut. That's ohmygut.info. ohmygut.info.
The board of directors of the NRA is to meet today as the organization wrestles with a leadership flap. NRA President Oliver North says he won't serve a second term, this after a bitter in-house fight with longtime NRA Chief Executive Wayne LaPierre. The Justice Department has told the House Judiciary Panel that Attorney General William Barr may skip a Thursday hearing on Special Counsel Robert Mueller's report. USA Radio's Wendy King explains.
He is not going to dictate the format of the Judiciary Committee.
That's House Judiciary Chairman Jerry Nadler responding to reports that Attorney General William Barr may not show up for his scheduled testimony this week if Democrats stick to the format Nadler has proposed for Barr's questioning.
What we're planning to do is that after the members finish questioning for 5 minutes, the Democratic counsel will have half an hour to question, and the Republican counsel will have half an hour to question. And that's a standard method of doing things.
I'm Wendy King.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
All right, live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen, hard-hitting talk. The Donald's out of control, man. Now he's advocating for a tyranny around the world, lol.
Unfortunately, that's the case, Sam. And the reason I wanted to just take a minute to explain why I believe it would be helpful for us to contact members of Congress is because of the way Mike Lee responded in a town hall meeting at about 10 days ago right here in American Fork, Utah. He explained his vote. I'm sorry, he explained the Senate Joint Resolution 7, which he sponsored a resolution to stop the U.S. support for the Saudi-led war on Yemen. This was the right thing to do, and I applaud Mike Lee for helping to sponsor and get passage of this resolution. The House passed it. The Senate approved it. This was the resolution that Trump vetoed, but nevertheless, Mike Lee understood, and he eloquently explained why he did what he did to stop the bombing or the support for bombing in U.S. support for bombing in of Yemen. But then, when I asked him a question about Venezuela, his response was very interesting. He didn't answer the question directly, but said, "Well, we all know that Maduro is an evil, evil man." And then he went on, and that was apparently was his justification for his inaction to stop the U.S. bullying of and sanctions of Venezuela. And so what I'm trying to say is that I think Mike Lee simply hasn't been apprised of the evil that the United States has done to Venezuela, which has basically impelled Maduro to do what he's doing. I mean, it's not his fault that his people are dying. It's the embargo. It's the sanctions against Venezuela that is keeping medicines and other commodities out of Venezuela so that his people are dying. And then, but the U.S. media, they are telling us that Maduro is killing his people. He's starving them. That's not true, Sam. That is...
But Lowell, doesn't the fact that, at least, you know, in my opinion, Maduro has some culpability in this whole thing, when you talk about a country that used to be, you know, a lot less socialist, if at all socialist, and then he, along with others, basically, they call it nationalized, or in other words, they steal, companies and properties and things like that, and then they've tried to institute what I'd call, you know, the idea of a socialist, you know, Shangri-La. And what it points out to me is that that kind of thing never works. Now, I will not say that the you know, U.S. meddling in other countries' affairs is a good thing, but, you know, I think it's important that we, you know, identify the fact that they have basically instituted socialism and communism right there in Venezuela.
Not more than our most favored nation trading partner, though.
Well, you raise a good point, Kurt, and I'm not excusing the socialism and the impacts, the effects, the long-term effects of socialism. I totally agree. You and I 100% agree that socialism is just slow communism, right? It's slow fascism. It's slow dictatorship, and it is not to be not to be done. I mean, you're going to kill a lot of people through socialism, as we have seen in nation after nation throughout the world, no question. But what I disagree with is the point that Mike Lee was excusing U.S. interventionist sanctions on Venezuela simply because Maduro's an evil, evil man. You know, he may be evil, but that does not excuse our response, which is to starve Venezuelans to death. 40,000, that's the...
I think what happens so many times, Lowell, is at least my main problem is, it, you know, it's what Sam has taught us for years, and that is, he who owns the media makes the rules. So if Mike Lee simply, you know, makes himself available to... whether it's CNN or even Fox or so many other standard news outlets that are going to paint Maduro, or, you know, that may paint Maduro like the evil one. And then on the other hand, you and I acquaint ourselves with news reports from, you know, other, in my opinion, better sources, then he is a victim of basically the media that he's watching. And I think each of us, you know, it happens to us as well, you know, but that's one thing that we've got to remember or keep in mind, I believe.
And to Kurt's point, Paul Craig Roberts wrote an article on Lou Rockwell that I think relates to this perfectly, to make Kurt's point, Lowell.
He sure did. Posted right there on lourockwell.com, another great website, just talking about Washington's attack on journalism, as represented by the illegal arrest of Julian Assange. That particular act, I guess, that act of arresting Assange, representing an attack on journalism, that kind of policy is now spreading. It's spreading in the United States, where the governor of New York has threatened sanctions against any financial institution that does business with the National Rifle Association. Can you believe that? And it's also spreading to France, where President Macron, I guess that's how you say his name, Macron, the president of France, Macron, has ordered three journalists to come report for police questioning. Well, what did those journalists do? They revealed that Macron's government, the French government, knowingly and intentionally sold arms to Saudi Arabia. You know, to be used for the slaughter of women and children in Yemen. And so just because they, you know, just like Assange, you know, revealed the helicopter attack and death of civilians there in Iraq, called Collateral Murder. That was the most famous of the WikiLeaks right there. Because of that, they're hauling Assange into prison. That's why he's in prison, simply because he told the truth. He blew the whistle on out-of-control corrupt government, and that's what happened in France with these three journalists. They pulled open the curtain on what France was doing, basically doing what we're doing right now, supplying the Saudis with weapons to kill people in Yemen with. And because of that, Sam, that was their crime. They have to answer to government for it.
And that's always the case, and they always, you know, come down with a heavy hand. They say you violated national security. They always use that claim. 9 out of 10 times, it's not true. There is a fine line of legitimacy to the national security question. They also use the term classified, or and you know what? There is some justification for it, but the problem is they abuse that, and they use this, you know, you give them an inch, they take a mile scenario to literally prosecute and abuse anybody that's a whistleblower. So you've got two great columns. You've got Washington has destroyed Western liberty. The era of tyranny has begun. Paul Craig Roberts in Lou Rockwell. You also have Ron Paul speaking out on the same topic, but kind of a different side of the discussion. Whistleblowers are heroic and patriotic. These two stories go together big time.
That's right, Sam. And Ron's op-ed appeared in USA Today, which kind of surprises me, because USA Today, I thought, was probably not going to print this kind of a thing. But he wrote this, Sam. He said, "It's deeply troubling that so many in the news media and in both political parties attack the efforts of whistleblowers and those who publish their revelations," you know, like Julian Assange.
And by the way, this is where Kurt's point is perfect, because we can get the truth if we pay attention to the right media.
Exactly right. And I appreciate Kurt's point, by the way. I mean, I don't want to fall subject to this notion that I read, you know, just because I read a lot of Lou Rockwell and Ron Paul Institute and so forth. I mean, I don't want to become so skewed that, you know, maybe they're spinning me a bunch of lies, too. I mean, that's possible. I doubt it, but that's certainly possible. So I need to be more sensitive, maybe, to what Kurt is saying. So I appreciate that. But back to the op-ed that Ron Paul wrote and that was published in USA Today, he says about these whistleblowers, "These individuals risk it all, not for their own wealth and glory, but to inform us of what is being done to us and in our name. Their releases are both heroic and pro-American. We're told that the government must be allowed to operate in secret in order to keep us safe. But how much security do we really have if we allow the government to deprive us of our liberty? What have we learned from whistleblowers Ed Snowden and Chelsea Manning, or WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange and others? We now know that our government views the Fourth Amendment as a mere suggestion rather than as a constraint on its action. Our consumer products," he talks a little bit about becoming listening devices for the government, and so forth. But then he ends his column, Sam, with these important words, which we can say right after this break.
Sam. All right, we'll give you the details, the final wrap-up of that column. This is critical stuff, folks, because whistleblowers are one of the keys to a free republic. Without it, we're in trouble, ladies and gentlemen. Because if you don't have the media and you don't have whistleblowers, how are you going to ever get the truth from the global swamp, huh? Lowell Nelson, campaignforliberty.org.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Kosher. Certified. put the two words together to get co-certified, which is spelled with an S-E-H instead of just S-H. It's the right way to spell this, the German way, and it made it easier to trademark. Now, did I tell you that the letters S-C-H still make the shh sound, as in all those American food producers saying, shh, let's keep it really quiet that our product is kosher certified. Think about it. Nearly one century of kosher certification, and hardly anyone outside exclusive observers knows that most packaged food and kitchen products are literally certified by religious intermediaries. Well, because you, consumer, are indirectly paying for this, the Kosher Certified app is here to make kosher certification awareness an inclusive matter for people of all faiths and identities, and it even boasts a unique database of products not kosher certified. We call that NKC. Start memeing it. It's fun. NKC, not kosher certified. Now, to confuse our audience even more, we put a question mark at the end of our name, and that really cinched our trademark approval. It relates to the website where you can begin your new shopping behavior, thekosherquestion.com.
All right, we wrap up the column with these incredible, what, words of warning, Lowell?
That's right, Sam. Ron Paul writes this. He says, history teaches us, or teaches, of the horrors that result when a people are willing to sacrifice their liberty for the false promises of government-provided security. Totalitarianisms of the left and right have thrived in such an environment. Whistleblowers are the truth seekers, and we must demand the truth. Who does not want to know the truth? Well, sadly, he says, in an empire of lies, the truth has become treason. Probably one of the most memorable things he has said over the last two decades, Sam, that truth is treason in an empire of lies, and certainly the case here, where we see the arrest and prosecution of Julian Assange, Bradley, Chelsea Manning, Ed Snowden, and others, simply for telling the truth about the government. Boy, if government is corrupt, and if you talk about it, then you're the one that gets prosecuted, not the government agents that actually were corrupt. Sam?
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. It's critical to understand how heroic and how patriotic and how critical whistleblowers are in our society. And when Washington, D.C., around the world, really destroys Western liberty, the era of tyranny has begun. When you literally start to use the petrodollar around the world and you start to march to war at every turn because people are simply sick of going along with this, quote, fake U.S. dollar tied to oil, literally controlling the whole world. War's at the center of it all, folks. And when you have whistleblowers, you know, bringing up the truth, whether it be regarding the petrodollar like we are, whether it be regarding the information that Julian Assange released, you know what? The result is the same. The more truth we have, the more accountability we can create. And that's kind of why I'm speaking out against President Trump on these issues. You know what? Donald does a great job on a lot of things, and I give him credit, probably more credit than others do. I take the time to create radio commercials, giving him credit, and running them free at my expense. Okay, so let's not pretend I'm one-sided here, but I'm willing to call a spade on both sides of the discussion. Very few have the guts, I should say, or the think tank intelligence, to do so. I would wonder why. But Kurt's right. It is all about who owns the media. We do our best to use our media responsibly and do our very best to use the supreme law of the land as our guide and to use God, family, and country and the protection of life, liberty, and property as kind of our matrix to run everything through. We do this based on principle, not based on politics or people. And we do the best we can. So another era in which America is falling way short, we need to look to Japan for answers, Lowell.
That's right, Sam. Before we go to this column, Sam, I want to say one more word about the media. We've mentioned this morning Ron Paul, what he's doing in the media. We've mentioned Eric Margolis. We've mentioned Paul Craig Roberts. There's one other, well, there's a bunch of great columnists, but one other that I want to mention this morning in connection with the stories on Venezuela and Iran is Caitlin Johnstone. She also has a column, and I just want to quote one paragraph out of her column because she's talking about sanctions and the difference between sanctions and all-out war. She says, sanctions are the only form of warfare where it's considered perfectly acceptable and legitimate to deliberately target a nation's civilian population with lethal force. The human corpses it creates are just as dead as the human corpses created by overt military violence. But because this form of violence, meaning sanctions, because this form of violence happens in slow motion, it's not treated like the same kind of horrific assault as if Trump had ordered carpet bombing of Caracas. The distinction makes no difference to the dead and no difference to their loved ones, but it makes all the difference in the world, Sam, when it comes to manufacturing public consent for murderous acts of interventionism. End of quote. So Caitlin rightly puts this out there. The media can soft-pedal sanctions and embargoes. They have a tough time soft-pedaling carpet bombing and outright, you know, lethal assault. That's why collateral murder video was so powerful. But nobody gives much thought to the sanctions and the impact of 40,000 dead in Venezuela. Well, they died in slow motion, Sam. They died from starvation because of the sanctions we put on them, not because we pulled out an M16 and started shooting it at them. But they're just as dead. They're just as dead because they starved as they were, as they would have been had we taken a rifle to them. And I don't know, somehow, Sam, we need to make that connection and help people understand that sanctions and embargoes are just as much warfare as, you know, shooting and bombing and killing outright. I don't know. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. It's critical we focus on it. It's critical that we use our media to tell the tale the best we can. Again, to do our very best to stand on the right side of principle and with the truth every time. And that's kind of the issue here is that, you know what? We got to get off the petrodollar and go back to the constitutional currency of our founders. We've got to quit playing the world's cop, and we've got to provide the leadership in peace. And we can do that by, you know what, getting rid of the foreign aid and the foreign meddling and the training and arming and funding of enemies, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's critical. But here at home, we got our own problems with agency and choice. You know, they say they double down on one side of the pro-choice argument and say mothers can kill babies, no problem. That's a lie. It's pro-death. Pro-choice would be to celebrate when women want to choose life, but we don't do that in America. On the other side of the coin, we talk about women's bodies. They can do whatever they want with their body. But when it comes to vaccinations, you can't do what you want with your body, unless you live in Japan.
And I lived in Japan for 2 years, Sam, and was not aware of this really kind of good news story. I want to highlight this because, see, Japan, they don't mandate vaccines. And they have far better health than the U.S. does. And the U.S., of course, is vaccinating everything in sight, you know, from newborns to adolescents to teenagers and to older people who they say, well, if you don't get this flu vaccine, then you're going to get the flu this winter, you know. I mean, they trot that story out every year, every fall. And I've got friends who go and get the flu vaccine, and then they promptly get the flu. It's so funny. Not funny, but it's funny. Anyway, so this is a great column, again, posted on lewrockwell.com. It was written by Christina Kristen. Basically, Sam, the U.S. has one of the highest infant mortality rate of all industrialized countries. That's amazing to me. More Americans.
What it is really sad because we have every ability to prevent that, but we go down the wrong roads, my friend.
That's right. More children die at birth and in their first year than in any other comparable nation. We're leading the world in infant mortality in the first year of life. More than half of those who survive develop at least one chronic illness. Well, why is that? Because of vaccination. And so you got to compare the U.S. with Japan. You know, in 1994, Japan transitioned away from mandated vaccination in public health centers. Apparently, they had it before then. And they went to voluntary vaccination in doctors' offices, guided by the concept that it's better the vaccinations are performed by the family doctors because they're familiar with the health conditions of the family. right? I mean, that's an important point. Government doesn't know what your health condition is and the health condition of your daughters and the babies that they bear. Your family doctor does, because, you know, your family doctor is very well aware of your health situation, not government. So it's foolish for us to allow government to mandate vaccinations, to basically mandate some health care procedure that they know nothing about or the impact that it has on your health situation. So Japan created two categories of non-compulsory vaccines. They have what they call routine vaccines, and the cost of those the government covers. Okay, that's what they do in Japan. And then they allow you to get voluntary vaccines. If you want to pay additional money for some voluntary vaccines, you can do that. That's it in Japan. No compulsory vaccination. Cool. But here in the U.S., you know, we do have governors and legislatures. We have health departments all over the country chomping at the bit for mandatory vaccination. And now, why is that, you ask? Well, it's because the pharmaceutical companies stand to make a windfall profit if the government around the country will mandate vaccines. It would become a cash cow for them. Right now, they have to advertise, they have to market their vaccines, they have to spin the stories that there's a measles outbreak here, there's a mumps outbreak there, or that, you know, there's a big flu season coming on, or there's a virus born by some mosquito in Africa or whatever. Those are the stories they spin in order to induce you to go get your vaccination.
And believe it or not, right now, UCLA and Cal State, I guess they're putting a law in place to quarantine students who cannot prove they have measles vaccinations. This is happening right now. They're doing the same thing in New York, Lowell.
Yeah, the New York County, there's a whole county back there in New York where they said that if you can't prove that you've been vaccinated, then you may not go out. Basically saying you can't go outside if you haven't been vaccinated. And they challenged it in court. The court supported the government. And so it's crazy, Sam, that it's just crazy.
Well, again, we don't have enough, to Kurt's point, we don't have enough media to tell the truth on this and hold them accountable and force the debate and the discussions. For example, I would simply say to those folks that say we need mandated vaccines, Japan's a great example of what's going right. So is Cuba, believe it or not. Cuba has all kinds of natural homeopathic ways of handling this as well. Not that I really back Cuba, but hey, they're doing something right. And then most importantly, if vaccines are so safe and effective, why have we spent over $400 million in the government-backed, taxpayer-funded vaccine injury compensation fund? Okay, if there's no really problems because they're safe and effective, and the problems are so rare, why have we spent $400 million on it plus, and no one knows about that? See, those are the things that the right media could force in the debate and the discussion. And believe it or not, even on the campaign trail back in the election time, Rand Paul and Donald Trump and Ben Carson, a couple of physicians there, they all questioned this wholesale vaccination discussion, and they got beat up hard for it. But they at least mentioned it. And so the problem is we can't force this into the debate and the discussion and get some of the truth out. When they shut down the movie Vaxxed, how do you get to the truth? And the answer that Kurt provides, and he's spot on, is we need the new media to take center stage, and he who owns the media controls the game. They make the rules. There's no doubt about it. We're flat out of time, Lowell. Thank you so much, sir. Phenomenal work as always. Godspeed, sir.
You're welcome, gentlemen. Thank you.
Campaign for Liberty, ladies and gentlemen, is the website for Lowell Nelson. Just doing a phenomenal job. You know what? Learn about Lowell, get involved, and find the Campaign for Liberty organization in your area. They do just a tremendous nonpartisan job. They stand for the sacred cause of liberty. All right, libertyroundtable.com, our website. Donate if you have the heart to help today. We know our website's having a little bit of trouble. Our webmaster's working on it right now. In the meantime, we declare we the people, along with the grace of the Almighty, we can and will restore America. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.